If only you can let your worship ascend unto him. If only you can know how to just touch the hem of his garment. That thing that is heavy in your heart will be gone into oblivion, never to be seen again. Worshiping, worshiping from the depths of the heart. Yeah, mama, oh, yeah, baba. We worship you, Lord. His presence is all over this place. We worship you, Lord. Let his presence, let it come upon you afresh this morning.
Holy Spirit.
Sing it one more time. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Let his presence come into your life this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your awesome presence. We thank you for your Shekinah glory that is all over this place, all over us, and all over our lives. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your purpose for today, your purpose for this presence will be accomplished in our lives in Jesus' name. As we sit under your word, let every trouble melt away. Let every mountain be leveled in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which only you can do, that no man can do, do it in our lives this morning in the name of Jesus. Let your word come alive. Let it become a reality. Let it become flesh and dwell amongst us. Teach us from your word. Teach us your wisdom. Help us this morning. Surround us with your mercy. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
For we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody shout.
Amen.
Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Come on, shout one more time. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Slap somebody high five beside you and welcome them to this service and take your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody it's going to be great this morning. Tell somebody it's going to be great this morning. Hallelujah. I want to welcome us to God's presence this morning. First of all, we'd like to appreciate Reverend Mrs. and Absentia for the opportunity to stand here and share God's word. They are not here this morning because they're in Lagos for camp meeting, and that is why, you know, the church is a little bit like this. We have almost half of the church, have traveled to Lagos for camp meeting. But thank God, because God is everywhere. Amen. It's not like Old Testament days when if you want to see God, you have to travel to Jerusalem, travel to some mountain, you know, to meet with God. These days, God is everywhere. Hallelujah. So we know that God is here. Amen. Can you do me a favor, those of us on this side, can we come like this? Please oblige me so that, you know, we can be like this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is everywhere, every time. Even in the toilet, God is there. How many of us believe that? I'm sure even your wife or your husband does not want to stay with you in the toilet by reason of what is coming out. We know it, so I don't need to expatiate. But God is there. Amen? Amen. One guy was speaking in tongues in the toilet. His pastor had him. The pastor said, "Shut up! Don't you respect God in the toilet?" But you know, God is everywhere. In fact, it looks as if some of the prayers you pray in the toilet get answered faster most people say it's in the toilet they receive their greatest ideas. I don't know about you. I know there are some people, if they are not reading something, they can't go to the convenience. They can't use convenience. They must be reading something. Hallelujah. We thank God because God is here this morning. And this morning, by God's grace, we're going to continue in the line of the teachings on marriage that Reverend started. Reverend told us that throughout this month, we're going to be looking at the subject of marriage. So we're going to continue in that line. It doesn't matter whether you are single or married. I trust that God is going to give us a word that will be relevant to us in our situations, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The title of the message is How to Get Fresh Wine into Your Marriage. How to get fresh wine into your marriage. Please, can I have a little bit of volume so that I don't have to hold this thing close to my mouth? How to get fresh wine in our marriage. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bibles to John chapter 2. And we'll read a couple of verses there and then we're going to start off. Amen. I was trying to prepare for this message, trying to get notes, write down some things and prepare, but I couldn't get a single thing to prepare. So I don't have notes this morning. What I have here is only my Bible. So be praying for me. Amen. Hallelujah. But I trust that God is going to speak to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 2, let's read from verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. Hallelujah. In marriage, and sometimes even in courtship, that's a little bit long, the wine often diminishes, the wine often disappears some of the time. Those people that have been married longer than 3-4 years, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we tell you that it's not every time they feel love towards their spouse. Praise God. There are sometimes you wake up in the morning and you feel like escaping for your life. You just want to be single all over again, but it's too late. Praise God. You just feel like all the children and the husband or the wife should just disappear and just you want to be alone. And just be alone for a while. But it's too late. Praise God. And this time, the wine has gone low. How do we bring fresh wine into our marriage? You see, when you fall in love afresh, I don't know about you, but when I was in love on campus, it was like intoxication. It was like I got drunk. And it wasn't a good time for me because I fell in love during exam time. I don't know whether anybody has been there. It's not, don't get there at all if you are still single. It's not good at all. Because I was in Geography and Regional Planning Department, and I was in final year, and I opened my book to read to prepare for exam, GRP 405. And right inside my book, I see her face there. How did it get there? I don't know. And I will speak in tongues a little so that the face can go, but it won't go. We live in the same hall, so I called her. I said, look, I don't want to fail. He said, me too. It's the same thing. I can't read. I said, very good. Let's go and read together. Let's go and read together. So we went to the hall to read together. She was there. I was there. So at least, you know, our face went back to where, so I could read. But once in a while, every 30 minutes, I would scribble something on a sheet of paper and pass it to her, and she would reply, just to keep the reading going. Amen. It was like intoxication. Praise God. And I wish that feeling could last forever. But there are sometimes I wake up, I just want to get unmarried. You know, some of us are very holy. We are always feeling the love every time. But I'm talking about me now. Praise God. I just want to be single just for a while. I jokingly tell my wife, I said, can I just go for like 3 months? I just disappear. He said, no. She would say, no, let me go first. Praise God. And you see, the wine can go down because of the activities of life, because of what we get involved to. If you get into a financial problem, you forget about love. You don't want to kiss your wife. Praise the Lord. You are busy calculating. How can I pay this money? Your wife will touch you, say, please, this, I'm not in the mood now. Praise God. You know, so activities of life, you need to pay school fees, you need to, and God help you if your son is in the university already, the school fees are different from secondary school. Praise God. And the wine goes low. What do we do in such instances? How do we bring fresh wine back into our marriage? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see from the story of Jesus Christ here that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Notice it didn't say wedding. And I wonder why I didn't call it wedding. See, the Bible never makes mistakes. What, it was a wedding ceremony, really, but it says marriage. Because in God's eyes, once you are wedded, it's marriage all the way. It's those of us here that looks at it like it's just wedding, and I can decide to walk up the aisle 1 year after and get out of this marriage. But that's not how God sees it. God sees it that once you are wedded, you are married. So it says there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. The way it says the mother of Jesus was there, it was more like as if the person is close to the family of Jesus Christ, or it's somebody they know, maybe a relative, a friend. It's not a stranger, because the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus himself, the Bible says in verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They were invited. The mother of Jesus wasn't invited. She was there. She was part of the planning process. Probably that was why she was able to tell Jesus wine is gone down. She was part of the process, you know, that was going on. And, excuse me. Can you help me put it off? It's disturbing the sound. Okay, so, and both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And this is very, very significant. Jesus was invited. In our marriage, in our home, in our family, we have to invite Jesus Christ. Very, very significant. You see, because if Jesus wasn't invited to this marriage, he was not going to be there. He was not going to be there. It's only, you know, when I was on campus, some of my friends, they go to wedding ceremonies uninvited. I never did that, but I know because I lived in our hall, a hall of over 100 students. Saturday morning, they are dressing up. Every Saturday. I said, you know that family, you know this one again. He said, sit down there. Hunger will kill you. So every Saturday, they are dressed up. Go into town and just sit down responsibly. Because if you dress with shirt and trousers, they will serve you. So they dress like the locals. Sit down, uninvited. But when it comes to marriage that we're talking about, we have to consciously invite Jesus. And you see, it's not a once in a while invitation. It's something we have to do constantly, every time. Keep on inviting Jesus to our marriage. Both Jesus was called and his disciples. Very significant. Both Jesus and his disciples. Because what most people do is they invite the disciples and leave Jesus. And that's a lot of problem. So when they have issues in their marriage, rather than talk to Jesus, they talk to friends whose marriages is not better than theirs anyway. So they give the friend advices based on his own experience. Oh, they baff you are wedding. You have to show him you are a man. If she refuses to talk to you, don't talk to her. Where is that in the Bible? But you see, they will advise based on their experiences, which is why once you have a pastor over you, you have a mentor, forget about friends most of the time. If your friend is a pastor, fine. But most of the time, just an average friend, they will always give you wrong advice based on their own experience. So that was how my wife did 5 years ago. For 3 months, we did not talk. Leave her alone. She's very stubborn. Don't talk to her. Leave her there. That's strife in the scripture. Praise God. Who is supposed to apologize first? Between the husband and the wife. Who? A lot of men believes it's the woman. That's the culture. You are supposed to submit. But it's not in the scripture that the wife should apologize first. It's not there. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying the wife should not apologize first, but it's not in the Bible that the wife must apologize first. So if the wife is not apologizing, who apologizes first? The most matured out of the two of them. Archbishop Bessie Dowsa was asked, when you and your wife, when you quarrel, who apologizes first? And when you ask a man of God like that, you think he will say something like, we don't quarrel. No, we don't quarrel in our home. You know, Jesus is Lord, no quarrel. You know, but Archbishop said, I do. So they asked, but why do you do that? You are the head of the house. He said, okay, you go and be head over trouble. Because it's not about being the head of the house, it's about having peace at home. That Adeboye was once said, I don't know how it's true, but I heard it from the pastors in the church, that he once prostrated for his wife because there must be peace. I'm not saying wife should not go home and say prostrate. Prostrate. You had what Pastor Duham said? Prostrate. No, I'm not saying that. Some men will never prostrate no matter what you do. You know, men are very egotistical. Prostrate. My father born me where? I am not a bastard. But all those things are not in the scriptures, really. They are not in the scriptures. We are to relate with one another in love so that the ultimate goal is peace at home. If you needed to do anything to have peace at home and avoid strife, do it. Sincerely speaking, look at what your wife likes, what your husband likes, and give it to him. Your husband says he does not want okra soup. Why buy okra again? And you know he has mustache. So buy vegetable. Is it by force? Praise the Lord. When we first got married, I loved beans so much. My wife doesn't like beans. She loves rice. She can eat rice 3 times a day, every day of the week, and then start eating again. I could eat beans like that. So when we got married, she would cook rice. I said, please cook beans. And it was always an issue. But after a while, I said, rice, beans, rice. Cook whatever you want to cook. Today, I don't even know how to eat beans again. It will upset me. I just eat once in a while. I'm just trying to get back because it's good food. Shouldn't be eating rice all the time. So we try to say, okay, these days, let's take rice. Let's take rice, let's take beans. Praise the Lord. If you are a student, you will like beans most times, you know, on campus. If you don't eat beans, what will you eat? You have to learn how to eat beans. Because rice was more expensive than beans then. Not like now. Praise God. So, both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And that is extremely significant for us. Because when Jesus is in our marriage, we can easily talk to him. This is what I want. This is what we want. This is what we want to get done. So in verse 3, the Bible says, and when they wanted wine. The Bible didn't say when they needed wine. They are two different things entirely. You see, you can need something and not ask. I hope you know that. You can need something, but you don't ask. But when you want something, you want to ask. You really want to ask because you want it. Now. I want this. So the Bible said they wanted wine. They've got into a stage where they knew that, look, our marriage, the wine is gone down. They wanted wine. Praise the Lord. And that's the first thing we need to, you know, come into cognizance with in our marriage. Does our marriage need fresh wine right now? Amen. It doesn't need fresh wine. You don't need to add more wine so that you don't get too drunk. Praise God. But there are times marriage will need fresh wine. Those times when you used to wake up your spouse with a peck, but right now you feel, I'm not a bird pecking at trees, so I don't want to peck again. Pecking is over. Those butterfly feelings have just gone. They just disappeared. They've become monotonous. And you find a husband and wife living as co-tenants. They are just there. What brings them together is finances. I bet it only... how much did I give you the last... and that was it. That's it. But it's not supposed to be like that. It's something we have to fight to maintain and sustain. Praise the Lord. And you see, women on the other side, they really want marriage to be like that, like what it was when you were wooing them, going after them. That's when you know how to write poems. Suddenly, the creativity of poem writing disappeared. You can't write poem again. Praise God. Some of us, when we were intoxicated, creativity was flowing. Maybe you need to write a book. Just go back into love mode so that inspiration will flow again. Praise the Lord. There are things we used to do when we were running after our wives, our spouses, as young folks. We're so gentle, so quiet. Everything she does is right. She doesn't do anything wrong. Until after a while. Why did you do that? I said, but that's the way I've been doing it. No! See, the love is waning. The wine has gone down. You are no longer drunk. When you see somebody that is drunk, he can do anything, he can sleep inside gutter. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a care. You say you are in the gutter, he's singing back at you. This place is beautiful. Because he's drunk. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine as in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was trying to tell us that being filled with the Holy Ghost can be likened to being drunk with wine, because what both of them seeks to achieve is that you are no longer yourself, but the Spirit of God is controlling you and moving you and leading you. And that's the way it's supposed to be between a husband and a wife. Praise God. Because you discover that in marriage, some of the things that leads to quarrel are very little things, really. They are not really big things. Because the husband and the wife, they attend the same church, so there is nothing like doctrinal issues. Unlike a husband attending MFM and the wife attending House of the Rock, they will fight. The husband on the House of the Rock says, there's a need, let's pray, let's confess. The wife says, confess, wow. We have to kill all the household wickedness in our father's house and our mother's house. We have to trace the demonic lineage and see where the ancestral spirit began so that we can go to our village and uproot it and burn it. And the one else will say, are you in the Old Testament days? But we're in the same church, no doctrinal issues, and possibly we've been hearing the same thing over and over again. So most of the time, what is causing issues are little things. Overreactions here and there. It's because the love has waned, or the wine has gone down. It happens to everybody. It happens to me. It happens to my wife. And you just overreact sometimes. You just raise your voice. Especially those of us with loud voices like this. My wife doesn't like loud voice. Sometimes I'm talking, say, you are raising your voice. I say, like this. I'm just talking normally. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the Bible says they wanted wine. The mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And it's a point of sincerity we have to come to. In our marriage, sincerely speaking, do we have wine or we don't have wine again? The mother of Jesus looked at them and said, they are just partying. It's a lie. It's water they are drinking. They have no wine again. Wine has finished. Praise the Lord. I know there are different kinds of wines. There are some that are very expensive. There are some you can just buy. Those ones that you are taking, it's the taste is like, what is this thing? Cola nut. Praise the Lord. There are different kinds of wine. Whether cheap wine or expensive wine, they have nothing. They have no wine again. Wine has gone completely from this particular marriage. And so in verse 4, Jesus says unto her, woman. Now this looks a little bit rude. Woman. How can you call your mother woman? But culturally, in the Jewish history, it's a statement of respect when you say woman to your mom. Woman. It's a statement of respect. So Jesus Christ is not being rude here. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, I'm not ready to do anything now. Jesus' mother, at this point in time, I've probably observed his life. He has not done any miracle yet, but he knows that he can be able to fix this problem they have. Say, Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus is like, how far? I'm not ready for such things right now. And then in verse 5, the mother of Jesus says something powerful that unlocked the miracle. In verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And now this is the key. This is the key to bringing new wine into our marriages and relationship. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. My question to us as husbands, as wives, as married couples is that, have we been able to do everything he has asked us to do? Not necessarily spiritual instructions alone as per ministry, but as per every area of our life. For example, if in the area of our career or business or ministry, God asks us to do something and we refuse to do it, it will affect every other thing in the home. It will affect your moods. It will affect productivity. Finances will not flow regularly because you are not doing what God asks you to do, and that will affect the way you react sometimes because you are not able to do what you're supposed to do financially at home. So you react. Praise God. So, you see, it's very important we look at our life, our marriages, our home. For example, if as a husband you told your fiancé, then I said, look, these are some things God has told me. When we get married, we must pray every day. And then over the years, you just forgot. You became spiritual. You know, you became more spiritual, and then you forgot to pray. Praise the Lord. It can affect a lot of things. It looks like something there, but listen to me. Everything that happens in the physical is an after effect of something in the spiritual. So when I don't do what I'm supposed to do spiritually, it will affect everything I'm doing on the physical level. That's the way it is. There's a relationship between praying to God in the morning and your wife not overreacting in the afternoon. There's a relationship between holding hands together with your spouse, praying, confessing good words, and your wife not getting into depression in the evening. There's a relationship with that. There's a relationship between you praying with your spouse and then you called your wife or your husband in the afternoon, you said something to her on the phone, and she does not hear something else. Praise the Lord. So let's look at it. What has God asked us to do over the years that we have neglected over time? Whatever he asks you to do, do it. It's a key to bringing in new wine supernaturally into your marriage. There are other things we do on the physical level, like take your wife out, tell her I love you regularly, all of those things. I will mention them towards the end of the message. But I'm looking at a fundamental issue here, which is like the foundation to having a successful marriage. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it says, whatsoever I say unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. You see, they wanted wine. Jesus said, fill water pots with water. There's no correlation. Is it water we want? Is it water we're going to drink? And those water pots are not the kind of water pots they use for drinking water. It's for purifying before going into the temple. So it's not water for drinking, as it were. And yet the Bible says here, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. I'm sure those servants must have said, kilo gari gashi, you know, kalok mommy. For what? But they quickly remember the mother of Jesus said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It's a key. Or sometimes when we are looking for something done in our lives and our marriages, God will lead us to do certain things or ask us to do certain things which in any way has no relationship to what we are trusting God for. And you're like, what's the connection? What's the connection between this? Praise the Lord. But you see, God in his wisdom, he knows what he's doing. Water here represents the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, sanctify them by the washing of the water, by the word. So literally, he's asking them to fill the water pots with the word of God. Now the next thing is, what is water pot? What does it typify? Water pot typifies our belly, our spirit man, our inner man. Out of your belly shall rise rivers of living water. So the water pot represents our inner man. So we take the word of God and feel it. If we don't feel it to the brim, there's no miracle. He says, look at it. You just study the first word where you want to go and preach. It's a serious error. It's a serious error. So you study the word of God to live. So when I put in God's word, they fill the water pot to the brim. Filled it up. Let the word of God. How many scriptures of marriage do you know by heart? How many have you meditated on? Have you meditated enough on the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3 that talks about the relationship a husband should have with his wife? He says, treat them tenderly. Let's look at it, 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at that scripture. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. I'm going to read Amplified Version. I love that Amplified Version very well. Look at what it says. It says, in the same way, you married men should live considerately with your wives. Say with me, considerately. In other words, consider them. Consider their nature. You say, I don't know my wife. My wife is too complex. Yes, women are like that because of the way they are wired, their makeup. A man is logical. You tell a man, go and get something for me in the petrol station there. He will go. He might not greet anybody on the way because his goal is to get fuel. You tell a woman to get fuel, she will talk with somebody on the way. She will talk with somebody. And then you, because she is relationship oriented. And God knows that this balance is needed. God looked at Adam. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He didn't say it's not good for a man to be lonely. There's a difference between loneliness and loneliness. It's not good for a man to be alone. Meaning that man has been alone before. Okay, let's look at it this way. It is good for boys to be alone. Praise the Lord. But it's not good for men to be alone. You get to a certain age, marriageable age, it's not good for man to be alone. But as a boy, it's good for you to be alone. Hallelujah to Jesus. And then God said, send him to sleep, and then mid eve. That's not where we're going this morning, so don't let me, you know. So, the word of the living God filled the water pot with water, and they filled it up to the brim. People of God, you can sit down and meditate in God's word to solve the problem you are going through. Look for the scripture that talks about, that gives you a solution to what you are going through, and stay with it. Light will come. Light will come. But you know, most time we don't sit down enough. Sometimes I'm guilty of that as well. We don't sit down enough. So when something erupts, we think of alternatives first. What can I call? What can I blah, 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 blah. And then after everything has failed, then we'll now come back to God. But really, His word will never fail. And this is the way, this is why, you know, going the way of the word is unpopular. The result does not always come instantly. I will not go and start confessing. Till when? I need this thing. You know. It doesn't come instantly, so it's unpopular. We need something urgent. Pick our phone, call somebody, pam, and the thing answers. But the arm of the flesh will fail most times. In fact, people you think you love you most, in the time of, they will disappoint you. You say, wow, I don't really have friends. I don't really have friends. When you have a lot of money around you, they will flock around you. You say, I have a lot of friends. No, you don't know your friends until you have a little bit of challenge. You have a little bit of challenge. And you look at challenge roundabout. No, none of them is around. They have all gone to Bodija. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says here that in the same way you married men should live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker. You honor her as physically the weaker. So you don't lift up your hand to slap her. You beat up your wife. They say, why did you do that? I say, it's the devil. It's not the devil. Because that's Mopole on the street. The devil never push you to him. He will say, come down from the car. You come down gently. He say, open the boot. You open it. He says, sit down. You sit down. But it's not the devil, really. A man ought not to lift his hands. And you see, there are things that will want to make you beat your wife sometimes. If you're a man, if you're a human, if you're in the days of your flesh, if you're not an angel. Well, some people are looking at me like angels. If you are a human being, you know women talk a lot, huh? Talk fast. They talk very well. An average woman speaks 25,000 words a day. An average man speaks 10,000 words. So before you say it, the woman has said, and the man says, me. If the man does not have the fear of God, bam! And the woman be, and she will talk more. You are still talking, boom! But that shouldn't be really. Honoring her as physically the weaker. Although there are some women that are physically the stronger, just a few instances. Also, I've seen women beat their husband. Sincerely, I'm a marriage counselor. The man was reporting, it's my wife beating me. Ha, you don't see it before. Beat up the husband, sit down in. God will help us. Honoring the woman as physically the weaker. You remember the story. The pastor was in church and he said, if you are a man here and your wife does not control you, please come out. Your wife does not control you, please come out. No, not a single man stood up. Then finally one man came out. And the pastor was interested. Your wife does not control you, she does not. He said, yes. He said, wow. He said, but she's the one that asked me to stand there. You don't get it. Honoring the woman as physically the weaker, realizing that you are joint heirs of this grace, God's unmerited favor of life, Now look at this. In order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively. What the Bible is saying here, if I don't honor my wife as physically the weaker, I will hinder my prayers. So if I fight my wife at home, I go to the mountain to pray, it's a waste of time and energy. You are wasting time. All the speaking in tongues for 10 hours is a waste of time because you are in strife with your wife. Praise the Lord. I know there are some men that are naturally wired that they don't give trouble. My dad is like that. My dad is just like that. My dad, you know, growing up, I see him have issues with my stepmom. And there are things like that I want my father to do something. He will just smile and he forgives so easily. The next thing is asking for his food. I'll say, what kind of a man is this? Praise the Lord. But over the years, discover it's a virtue. Gives you peace of mind. When a man boils unnecessarily, the man can die younger. Every day, don't you know I'm the head of the house? You just lost the chief by announcing it. Don't you know I'm the head of the house? It's just good to honor your wife. Hallelujah. So, and of course, there's an advice for men here, for women here too. Let me read it. Okay, look at verse 2. Look at verse 2, Amplified, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. He says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourself, talking to the wives now, said, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. To respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense to adore him, that is to admire, praise, be devoted, to deeply love and enjoy your husband. Abba. If you do that for your husband, there won't be a problem with the household. Women will say, well, okay, why if my husband treats me well, I would do that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible is not saying 50-50. You do what the scripture asks you to do, and you know, things will get better. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to our scriptures in John. Amen. Are we getting blessed? All right. John chapter 2. So Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he says unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Very strange instructions. Very, very strange. I don't know, but if I were the servant, I would not do that thing. Fill the water pot with water. Now take the water, which is not drinkable by itself, and go and give it to the chairman on the high table. I will say, Jesus Christ, can I taste first to see? Because the thing is really looking like water. Maybe it's white wine. Let me check. So I imagine the servants going along the way. At what point the water turned into wine? Nobody knew. But certainly the water turned into wine before the chairman drank it. I can imagine the scenario. The servant gives the cup to the chairman and says, they said we should give you, and disappears quickly. Because both the chairman and the husband, it looks as if the marriage is about to be overturned and something else is about to happen. But the man drank it and the man was surprised. He said, where did you keep this good wine all the while? In other words, it doesn't matter the stage our marriage gets into, there's always a new wine we can access. Hallelujah to Jesus. It doesn't matter if it looks as if there has not been wine for the past 4 or 5 years. This is the experience here. They've been drinking the worst wine. So says the scripture. But all of a sudden, towards the end, new wine came. How did new wine come? They filled the water pots with water. Water is the word of God. Sanctify them by the washing of the water by the word. Water pots is your inner man. You fill your inner man with the word of the living God. Fill it to the brim, and then a miracle will take place. I'm saying there's a relationship between how we live with our wives and how we have studied God's word.
Hallelujah. And it's so easy these days. You have God's word on your phone, on your Bible, in your audio. You can listen in several ways. Your CD, you can slot it in the car. This time I have audio Bible in my iPad. I put it on overnight. I listen to it overnight, sleep off, wake up in the night, I'm listening to God's word. I just want it to enter into my spirit, man, and stay there. Because sincerely speaking, there's nothing I can do without his word. And the same thing with you. All things were created by the word. For there was nothing that was created apart from the word. God's word. That is it. That is where the solution lies. What we are looking for right now, the answer is in the word of God. Let me show you the confidence the word of God gave to a particular man in the scriptures. Let's look at it together. In the book of Acts. Acts of Apostles chapter 12. Are we there? Acts of Apostles chapter 12. Can you please help us get it there? Acts of Apostles chapter 12. Let's start from verse 1. Now about this time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, can you imagine? They killed somebody and it pleased some people. Not everybody is pleased with you. I'm telling you the truth. You buy a car in your place of work, you think everybody is happy. They might congratulate you, but not everybody is happy. Here, the Bible said they killed somebody and it pleased the Jews. They were happy that somebody has died. People can be happy when somebody is retrenched. He's out of work. Not everybody is your friend. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, the Bible says he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to people. So here, Peter knew that he was arrested to be killed. There was no gainsaying about it. There was no speculation. He knew that he was arrested so that they can kill him. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now, Peter was arrested to be killed. I want to show you how the word of God can give you confidence and why you need to put God's word in your belly. He was arrested to be killed, and he knew. And here the Bible says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Now there are some things I don't understand here. If somebody is arrested to be killed, the last thing the person wants to do is to sleep. I don't know whether you look at it. This guy slept off. Then I started thinking maybe he got depressed and sad and was crying, and in the middle of that, he just slept off. But that's not what happened. Because when the angel came, the Bible says they were asking me to put on his clothes. The guy prepared to sleep. He removed his garment and slept off as if he was in his bedroom. Somebody to be killed next day. He slept so soundly, the angel came and was trying to wake him. He didn't hear until the angel smote him. The Bible says the angel smote him by the side before he could wake up. The guy slept off soundly. What kind of confidence is that when you're about to be killed next day? I think you should be praying in the spirit or speaking in tongues or asking God. Then I thought maybe it is due to his faith. Maybe he's a man of faith. But I discovered it's not faith. Because the Bible says as the angel was leading him out, he thought it was a vision. So he wasn't in faith. He thought he was seeing a vision. So it wasn't faith. I said, okay, maybe it is because of the people that are praying for him. But then I discovered also it was not prayer. Because the Bible says, when he got to the door, that girl saw him, ran back to the people that were praying and said, Peter is at the door. I said, shut up, you are mad. Something is wrong with you. So they were praying, but they were not praying. That's why all these prayer partners you have, be careful. Praise the Lord. He said, let's agree together. And they are not in agreement. They are in agreement to disagree. Praise the Lord. Those people, the Bible said prayers was offered daily. And yet the answer came. And they say it's not possible. So you are beside yourself. You are mad. Still continue their prayer. Until Peter came upon them. He said, you must have seen a ghost. So it wasn't their prayer. It wasn't his faith. So what was it? What was it? Let me show you what happened. Let's look at the book of John chapter 21 and verse 18. John 21:18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou gathest thyself. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. And walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall guard thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest go. Jesus Christ was talking to Peter here, telling him about the kind of death he would die. He said, you will grow so old, you won't be able to walk by yourself. You will need somebody to hold your hand, lead you. You'll be walking like this, you'll be so old. So when he was arrested, the guy just slept off. This is not the word of God. This is not what Jesus told me, that I would die. At what age? So he just sleepily slept off. You see, it was the word of God, the word that Jesus told him, that became his confidence in the midst of a test and trial that is supposed to actually dislodge him. He held on to that word and he just left off. This is also what will give us confidence in the midst of tests and trials. When you are going through issues, just slip off. They say, have you gotten the answer? Not yet, but I know the answer will come. Why? The word of God. If this word of God is not there to undergird our soul and to keep, like it's like an anchor. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says it's like an anchor that is let down, which reaches into the Holy of Holies. It's like the anchor to our soul that keeps us together in the midst of tests and trials. That no matter what, I will have victory. What gives you that assurance is the word of the living God. What will make, somebody called me on phone from South Africa for counseling. He said, Pastor, it has gotten so bad, I have started going to the house of, I've forgotten the name he mentioned, what they call their herbalist there. He said, I've started going to the house of herbalist. I said, what's that? He said, it's herbalist in our language. I started going there. I said, why? He said, I'm frustrated. It looks as if this... I said, are you born again? Yes. Are you a worker in your church? Yes. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. What will make somebody, a child of God, resort to herbalists? You see, his water pot is empty. There's nothing there for Jesus Christ to utilize to bring victory into his life. Jesus, look at the water pot. He didn't say, water, come there by yourself. He asked them to fill it, which it requires work. They have to carry the pail, go, fetch, come back, put it there, come back. And that is what, you cannot study the word of God. How do I put it? You can't study without study. It requires you sitting down, like you are preparing for exam. Say, what are you doing? I say, what God's word? Ha, Lotto can't do it, but oh, it's worth it. I must find the answer. Because until you get passionate like that with God's word, people of God, this word of God is not historical facts, it's not religious knowledge, Bible knowledge, CRK. It's not historical, Jewish historical book, it's life. It's life. So the person that doesn't have life, what's happening? It's dying. It's dying. What will make somebody that knows that adultery is wrong going to adultery? Water pot is empty. When Jesus Christ was being tempted, how did he overcome the temptation? It is written. That's not the time for Jesus Christ to go and carry concordance. Wait for me, devil, I'm coming. Let me search for the scripture to finish you. No. It's in the water pot. It is written. The second one, it is written. The third time, it is written. How much of water have we fetched into our water pots? Whatever it tells you, do it. Somebody say, "Boy, he has not told me anything." It's because you have not started getting into God's word. The moment you open this word of life, light dawns upon your soul. Questions are answered. Everything becomes peaceful. Said, "Have you gotten the answer yet?" No, but there's something here that tells me that victory is here. Do you have the money yet? I don't have it physically, but here, it's there, right? It's here. It gives you a confidence, an assurance to face life. It gives you this It gives you this outward, inward, it's first of all an inward confidence that manifests in your utterances. Now people look at you and say, "Something is wrong with that man. He has troubles all around him, but he's so confident. I don't know what's wrong with him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. When I was young, I used to watch this Erewuri Tage, those Yoruba folklore. Have you seen those men when they are guarded and they have all their clothes on and they have this on in their hands and they want to go for battle? If you cross their path, they can kill you. They are so confident. They will tell their king, "We are going for war, we are coming back." They are guarded. A believer ought to be guarded like that. You ought to fortify yourself with the word of the living God. Hallelujah. That is your life. That is your secret. Kenneth Hagin, of blessed memory, in the time of healing revival in the 50s, 60s, 70s, he told those other men of God, he said, "You are building your ministries around your gifts." He said, "That's not how to do it. You have to build anything you are building around the word and the spirit." He said, "But you are building your ministry around your gifts. You are neglecting the word." He said to them, "When you are long gone, I will still be here." And that was exactly what happened. Every one of them died one by one. I'm not sure that's the age God wanted them to go, but they had to go. 20, 30 years after Kenneth Hagin was a bouncing. Why? Because of the word of the living God. What will it be if people like William Branham and Jaco and A and they lived to like 80? Some of them died in their 50s. Tremendously anointed people. People that they have removed part of your lungs, they will grow it back. The man has had accident. The hand is cut off. They will grow the hand back. Simple. It's you that is praying for a daycare. They will grow the hand. Praise the Lord. Brought one woman to A.A. Allen. This woman was obese. Was big. A.A. Allen laid hands on her in front of hundreds of people. And as if you puncture a balloon with pain. Right there on the stage. Just slim down to normal size. Supernatural. Where did the fat go? I don't know. They brought another man to him. That man, they call him Crocodile Man because his skin was like the scaly hide of a crocodile. It's a disease. It's a condition. Prayed for him in front of people and his skin turned to baby skin. It first turned purple, then turned to normal baby skin right there on this stage. Those are miracles. But those miracles could not be sustained because they were not putting enough word in their water pots. People of God, don't neglect your water pot. You can go all over the place and walk and try to make money and do all of those things, but make sure you are putting the word of God here. If you don't, you will burn out easily. You will just crash down. They say, "What happened to you?" I don't even know. The word of God is life. Jesus couldn't do his ministry without it. He was putting in the word. Peter, in the Acts of Apostles, summarized Genesis. to Malachi. Just summarized it. You will know that he has studied. Stephen summarized the whole of Old Testament. Those people have studied. Jesus Christ appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says he summarized them, was telling them and showing them of himself from Genesis, from Moses. They have studied. Hallelujah to Jesus. We have to give ourselves to the study. This is what will sustain our marriage, people of God. Your courtship, this is what will sustain it. This is what will sustain. Say, Pastor, how will I do it that I don't compromise in our courtship? I want to kiss, but I don't want to kiss. How will I go and study God's word? Put life here. Put life here. A man of God was talking, was ministering. He said, this man studies God's word a lot. He said he's been tempted all over the place. He said when he sees somebody comes, one beautiful girl come around, he said as he's considering what he could do with this girl, he said about four or five scriptures will just rise up. He just said, no, I can't. Because it is the word of God in you that keeps you strong in the day of trouble. When there's nothing there, you easily follow. Fall. And the same thing can happen to a man of God. Doesn't matter how much cathedral he has, if he stops studying God's word, he will start sleeping with secretary very soon. Oh yes, as a man of God, so stop reading God's word. This is where life is. You don't joke with it. You don't read the Bible because you are a pastor. You say, I'm not a pastor, I won't kill myself. No, it's not about being a pastor, it's about life. You want to live? You want to have success? He said, do not let this word depart from your eyes. Meditate during day and night. Do not let them depart from their hands. That means observe to do what is written therein. He said, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God's word. That is it. If you're a lady, don't marry a man that does not read God's word. Otherwise, he's trouble. He said, well, no, I don't read Bible like that. I know me and God, we know how we do it. How do you do it? He said, you are just too spiritual. You read Bible every day. That's not how we do it. And he can even quote scripture to you, but he does not read his Bible. He does not study his Bible. What kind of a person is that? In the day of problem, there's going to be a problem. In the day of issues, he's going to collapse. Because there's no life within. There's no life. So they fill the water pots to the brim. Hallelujah. They fill it to the brim. And a miracle took place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me conclude this message. So he said unto them, draw out now. Draw out now, because it is from what you put in that you cannot draw out. If you don't put anything in, you can't draw anything out. That's just it. If you don't put God's word in, there's nothing to draw from. You've not read Bible in 3 months. You want to quote scripture, you will say Genesis 25 naira verse 30 kobo. Because you've been thinking money. Money. You say sorry. I mean Genesis chapter 25. Because you see the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. How do you know if somebody has not been reading this Bible? Listen to him for 30 minutes. He's talking nonsense. He said, we can't make it in this Nigeria. We are all finished. We are all dead. Because the Bible says, do not fear the affair. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, there may be a casting down. They may say there's a casting down. I said, what will you say? There's a lifting up. So when you listen to the kind of utterance, I know a lot of unbelievers during that Ebola scare. You see, I say Ebola one tashora. But today one tanko. Hallelujah to Jesus. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So they drew out of it and gave it to the governor. Whatever blessing, virtue that you need in your marriage, you can only draw it out from within. When you put God's word here, like 1 Peter that we just read about how to treat a wife and how to treat a husband, if you sit down with that and meditate enough on it, when there's an issue between you and your wife that you are meant to react, you'll be able to draw that scripture out. Praise him, adore him, honor him. It will just come out and you will relax. Hallelujah to Jesus. All kind of things that leads to divorce, if you hear them, you'll be amazed. I don't feel love again towards him, so he wants a divorce. One guy divorced his wife and got married to another one, then 2 hours later was back in court. He said, "Kojo, I missed it again." See, those people are not ready to put in what is necessary to sustain a marriage. You can't run a marriage with your physical kidney. You say, "Ogba wagba." It will fail. It is inside the same Ogba wagba that tell you that when you marry a woman and she's giving you too much problem, marry a second one. Let them be fighting themselves. They will leave you alone. It is in the same Ogba wagba that tells you that when they start fighting themselves and you have no wife to sleep with, marry the third one. 3 people cannot be fighting at the same time. And after the third one, he said, "Marry one more." Then do timetable for them. They will look forward for it. It's because only one. That's why she doesn't appreciate. Do timetable, you next week, you upper week. So you can't use Ogba wagba. You have to use the word of God. Amen. It's God's word. That's how to bring fresh wine into your marriage. I remember when I was courting my wife, Ogba wagba, my auntie called me once. I said, "Today, come. I said, "Ma." He said, "Make sure she's pregnant too." Impregnate her. She was doing her like this. Impregnate her. I was just looking like this. Impregnate her. Because after marriage, you are not sure whether she has a good womb or not. Impregnate her. I said, "This woman is the devil." I didn't say it out loud. I was saying inside. I said, "I wish you." After I've kept myself, it's only two or 3 months of marriage. You are doing like this, as you. But that's wisdom to her. That's a wisdom. So, you see, if the word of God is not here, and there's nothing in the water pot, when there are issues, you go and meet daddy at home. After daddy has been married for 50 years, sit down with daddy, and daddy will give you a guan wagba. He said, "Do you help her to wash plates?" He said, "Yes, that's a problem." That's a problem. How will she respect you? You are washing plates for your wife. You are a bastard. You are not my son. That's where the problem began. You wash plate for your wife? You wash plate? They have cooked vegetable for you. So she will give you a bow and back. So the next day you come back home. "Now listen to me. From today, I will not. Your wife will go like, don't dare me." Because when there are issues, you have to look for solutions somewhere. So if the water pot is empty, you will look somewhere else. And they will advise you based on their experience. You want to buy a car, you are seeking advice from somebody that has a bicycle. He will advise you based on the spoke of the bicycle. You say, "Don't buy a car now. Be humble. It's pride. Walk on the road for the next 3 years. Let some beat you very well. Suffer for God. Look at me, I've been suffering for God. And God is doing small. At the age of 70, small. When the Bible says, satisfy me early with your mercies. Hallelujah. What am I saying this morning? Let's put God's word in our water pots. Fill it up. Fill it to the brim. And Jesus will have something to work with. If those disciples have refused to fill the water pots, Jesus will just be looking. I'm not going to study God's word for you. Jesus will come down to help us study concordance. He has died for us. Now it's your responsibility to discover why he died for you and go into the mysteries of the word that are hidden not from us but for us. So you open this word of life. What does it say about my marriage? What does it say about my finances? What does it say about treating a woman? You know, the Bible talks about everything, every subject. The Bible even talks about how to make love with your wife. It advises young men. He said, let the wife of your youth satisfy you. He said, let her breast satisfy thee like rose. In other words, stop looking at another woman's breast. Look at your wife's own. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Focus on your wife. And it tells men, he said, why should you scatter your waters on the street? He was advising men. He said, why should you allow the strange woman who flattered with her mouth to lead you to the way that leads to hell? Have you seen strange women before? Oh, Jesus. They can finish men. The wife is careless at all. He's abusing her husband. He said, you are having pot belly now. You are not looking fine again. You are looking ugly. Look at your pot belly, the way it's coming out. The strange woman outside, he said, what I like is this pot belly. See the way it is rounded. Look at the husband and say, your head is going bald. It's like a mirror. You are not fine again. The strange woman said, I just like this thing. Let me see my face on your head again. Strange women. May your path not cross strange women in Jesus' name. They can collect husband fast, quick. So take care of your wife and take care of your husband. There are distractions outside. You've not said I love you to your wife 3 months. Guess what? They are complimenting her outside. They will say, wow, you look cute. And her emotions are gravitating. Wives, dress for your husband at home. Stop tying a wrapper. Dress. There are some things you can dress for. Maybe when the children are around, you may not be able to wear those things. But if the children are not around, dress for your husband at home, because your husband is moved by sight. Your husband can commit the sin of luxury. Women are not moved by sight, but men are moved by what they see. Tell a woman that there's one naked man outside there on the street. She's not interested. If after church, she will take this way. Tell a man that there's a lady there that is naked. She will say, I'm coming. He will say, I'm coming. Let's go and see whether we need to do deliverance for her. Men are moved by what they see. That's the reality. If your husband has not told you, I'm helping him to tell you now. He's moved by what he sees. So when he is not satisfied sexually at home, he is distracted while driving on the street. Everything he's looking at. He's looking at. His eyes is doing come, come. He said, dear, what are you looking at? He said, nothing. I'm just focusing on Jesus. It's a lie. Men are moved by what they see. The Bible says, at the time kings went to battle, David was taking a stroll on the roof of the palace and he saw a woman taking his bath. That was the beginning of adultery and murder. What about Samson? He went down to Timnath. He saw a woman there. He went in unto her. At the time he saw a woman, he could not speak correct English again. He ran to his father. He said, get her for me to wife. Read your Bible, is there. Stand up on your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God this morning and ask God to bathe in us a new zeal for the study of his word. That is where our life comes from. That is where our strength comes from. That is where grace proceeds from. talk to God. Say, Lord, let me have a new zeal for your word, a freshness. Let your word appeal to me. Rejuvenate in me a love for your word. I want to love you more by loving your word. Spirit of God, help me to study your word more, to look forward to being with the Master every day. If you have any issues in your marriage, talk to God. Ask Him to intervene. Ask Him to bring fresh wine into your marriage. Fresh wine. Pray for others around you that you know might be going through a time of test and trials in their marriages. Pray for them that God will bring fresh wine into their marriages. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O Lord. Give me a fresh panting for your word. Fresh energy to study your word. And Lord, when I'm studying your word, open the eyes of my understanding. Help me to discover wondrous truths from your word. Let the gates of heaven be laid to my ears. Let me hear you. Let me understand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We say, blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.